Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning there, Mark.
Hey, Francis, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm still a little amused at what you brought into the studio just a moment ago. You see, this is the one-year anniversary of The Restaurant Guys. This is our one-year anniversary show, and Mark brought me a jelly donut with a candle in it. It's just a little
happy
romantic.
Anniversary.
A little romantic.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Okay. Let's talk about some emails and some an issue that...
let's talk about how they possibly let us stay on the air for a whole year.
I don't quite get it. We do bring donuts every once in a while.
A donut. What could be more appropriate than that?
Right. Anyway, I'm touched. A new issue that has come up again, and there's some very interesting things about opening up a new restaurant. We've just opened our second restaurant, and why we've consulted for many restaurants over the years and many different types of restaurants over the years. This second restaurant is located directly above the first restaurant. It's a different style of restaurant. It's a slightly more casual style of restaurant, but it's still a serious restaurant when it comes to wine. And it's funny how after, you know, Stage Left has been around for 14 years, certain issues were put to bed a long time ago. And then in the new restaurant, you sort of deal with them again. And what's interesting is, honestly, when there's a new restaurant, there are some people who come to your restaurant who don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the nature. You know, if you don't like Stage Left, but you're inclined to go there and spend that kind of money on dinner, chances are you've been there once already and have decided that you don't like it, which is sad for us. But, I mean, not every restaurant's for every person.
Every time you open a new restaurant like this, every time you get a new review, every time you get a new source of people coming to your restaurant,
it brings in a whole bunch of new people.
It brings in a whole bunch of new people, and every time you bring in new people, some of those are going to be happy, and some of those aren't going to like what you do. And realize with an existing restaurant like Stage Left, where 85 or 90% or 95% of our customers have been there once before, and the people who don't like it have decided, I was there 8 years ago, it wasn't for
didn't
me.
Didn't like it. Maybe I gave it two tries, didn't like it.
Wasn't for me.
But
those people haven't been coming back. So now when you open a new restaurant and get new reviews and start hearing from new people again, all of a sudden there's a whole new influx of people.
For our restaurant, Catherine Lombardi, in downtown New Brunswick, we've gotten a couple of really good reviews. In the last 3 weeks, we got 3.5 stars in the Star Ledger, and we got a very good and a beautiful review with a great picture in the New York Times, and she raved about the place. And so we've gotten a lot of business, for which we're very thankful and very grateful. But and we've gained a lot of regular customers, and, you know, I'm not saying that every dinner's been perfect, but... You know,
a lot of people are really enjoying the new restaurant. But I think that it's got a broader appeal maybe even than Stage Left.
But I'll give you an example. This is an Italian-American restaurant based on Mark's grandmother's cooking, okay, in Brooklyn. And I had a woman say to me last week, you know, there's too much garlic here. There's too much garlic in everything. And I was like, this is the wrong restaurant for you. I mean, there's garlic in everything.
It's not the wrong restaurant for you, but you need to be very, very selective in the types of things you take.
She doesn't like garlic at all.
Well, then so have the sea bass with the lentils.
And nothing else.
You know, that's what can I tell you? We have scallops.
Yeah, there's no garlic at that's it.
We have scallops.
But I find that very interesting. But another issue that's come up that I think is interesting is that many people in Jersey don't see, but if you go to fine restaurants in New York, or certainly in Europe, you see it a lot, is wine service. And we employ, in both restaurants, formal wine service. And what that means is that the waiter comes over and presents the bottle to you, and then opens the bottle of wine, and then the waiter or the captain or the sommelier then tastes the bottle of wine to make sure that it's not corked, which is a bad
corked
thing.
Corked or has turned to vinegar or has been stored improperly before we got it, whatever the reason may be, that the wine may actually be bad.
That the wine is not bad, that the wine is not flawed. And then you pour a taste for the wine host, and then you pour it out for the table. It's at Stage Left, we've been doing this since 97, which was when we switched from sort of casual service where we didn't
to 97, 98, right in there, yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because I've had to explain to a number of people who said, you know, why is the waiter tasting my wine?
We got an email from somebody who said, hi, you know, this is Ed. And
loved your place. And
had a quick question. Last month, Lee and I were in for dinner. Noticed you took a taste of champagne before pouring. We've never really seen this before. It did not bother us, but my friend was taken back. Wonder if you'd be so kind as to explain the thinking.
And so I sent him an email, and here's the thinking. Well, first of all, you know, the if you look at formal service, the American Sommelier Association, the Sommelier Society of America, the International Court of Master Sommeliers, any accredited wine organization says informal service, the staff should taste the wine before they present it to you. And frankly, that's a service to the guest.
Mm-hmm. And you would be amazed at how many incorrect or bad bottles we find.
And since we've switched in 97 to this, we did it because there's been a rise worldwide in the number of bottles that are corked, because as the cork forests get a little bit depleted, there's more and more of a problem with wines being corked. That comes from a mold that's an inferior cork. And that's even in good cork. Sometimes you just can't find it until it's already in the bottle.
Right.
And there's no way to look for it except to taste the wine. I get across my desk 3 to 5 bottles a week that never hit the customer.
Correct.
Because our staff stops them from happening. And that's one of the main reason for formal wine service. But there's another reason as well. And if
there's a benefit that we all accrue by the sommelier or host tasting your wine.
If you go to a great restaurant, New York Times 4-star restaurant, Michelin 2 or 3-star restaurant in Europe, and you talk intelligently with the sommelier or the captain about the great Burgundies in his cellar or the great California Cabernets in his or her cellar, and you talk about what's drinking well now and how the differences vary, do you ever wonder how a waiter got to buy got to be conversant in Grand Cru Burgundy? The only way for a wine staff to know what's going on in their cellar is to work the floor and be tasting the wines as they come out. That's the only way to have a knowledgeable wine staff. It's not like they you know read the books and can tell you what the score it got from Parker 5 years ago. That's not the job of a sommelier. And very few sommeliers can afford, or waiters or captains can afford, to buy Grand Cru Burgundy for themselves with dinner every night. And so the way that they increase their knowledge, which then becomes a benefit to everyone, is to taste wines and, while making sure they're not corked for you, build their frame of reference.
And that accrues a benefit to you. The benefit to you is that you can ask that person anything about the wines on the list. There are some wines on my list I've tried 200 times. So if you want to ask me a question about that wine, I know that wine inside and out. And also, if there's bottle variation, I mean, there's one wine on our list that has some bottle variation. And when it's great, it's great. And when it's not great, it's not great. And we don't allow those not great bottles to ever get to the table.
And, you know, it also takes a lot of pressure off the wine host for the party. I mean, if you accept a bottle of wine that's off, after I've poured it out, I don't get credit for it, and you're stuck with it. You know, if you don't know whether a wine is right or wrong, if you see the captain try it and then smile and then pour it out, you know that it's a service to you. And so I thought that would be a good explanation, and I hope that more restaurants switch over to formal wine service, and that's the only way we're going to get more knowledgeable wine staff and protect you even further. Enough with the geek talk. We'll come back with Antoinette Bruno, the owner and CEO of a wonderful website called Star Chefs, after the break. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we have a special guest joining us today. Antoinette Bruno attended the chef's program at the Ritz Escoffier in Paris and worked as an apprentice for chef Jean-Pierre Callot. She earned her MBA from Harvard Business School and a postgraduate degree from the London School of Economics. And she has a website business called Star Chefs, which everybody we know in the industry goes to once in a while. Welcome to the show, Antoinette.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Antoinette. You're brilliant. What are you doing in the restaurant business?
You know, it's a funny question that you asked me, because when I graduated from business school and I said I wanted to work in fine dining, my professor said, "What's fine dining?"
Why don't you tell people what Star Chefs is all about? I get your email newsletters, and Mark and I use it as a resource in just about all the different ways you put it out there. But why don't you tell the public at large what Star Chefs is all about?
Sure, great. Well, let me start by saying what our mission statement is, and maybe that'll make sense. We see ourselves as a catalyst for culinary professionals, for all restaurant professionals to succeed in the industry. So people like you who have a talk show, people who are journalists that write articles about chefs, people that are publicists that need information about chefs, chefs, you know, who want to succeed in this industry, who want to be the best that they can be, whether they're a hotel chef or a chef at a casual dining restaurant. We provide them with the tools and the means to be the best they can be.
Now, I'll tell you, we've had our restaurants for about 14 years now, and things have changed. The whole dynamic has changed as far as hiring professional people in this business. In the olden days, I'll say, in the 10, 15 years ago, we were trying to draw from New York City, and we were trying to draw people from within our culinary area. And that's changed, and part of that has changed because of organizations like yours. We've interviewed people through your site through in Seattle. We've hired somebody from La Jolla, California that we found through your site. What is your site doing in that area?
Well, that's our job finder, and that's actually how we make our money. That's our business model.
Very important part of the business model.
Very important. We're actually one of the few websites that started 10 or 11 years ago that are actually still in business and actually make money. And it's due to our online job classifieds. I like to refer to us as the hot jobs for the culinary industry. And basically, you're right, the dynamics have changed. Our industry employs people that are very mobile and that are willing to basically move across the country at a drop of a hat for a better job. And we encourage that. You can look for a job on Star Chef anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So yes.
Well, you know what's cool, though, about your site is that it's, yeah, I mean, we use that job function. We have used that job function. And it's interesting, you know, to get in the email, you know, the top 10 jobs this week. Or you know, and it's a nice way to sort of have a very targeted appeal as far as, you know, when we advertise to hire people. But I read your site every week because there are articles about chefs. Mm-hmm. There are articles about places to go. You wrote an article recently about San Miguel. Mm-hmm. and to the restaurants to visit. How do you tie in, like, the job finder site and the food magazine aspect of the site?
Oh, that's easy. Basically, the magazine is where you would come to read and to learn more about what you're doing in your industry. So say you're a chef and you have a Mexican restaurant and you want to learn, you want to figure out what should be on your menu. Do you want to serve, you know, sort of the typical American fare that we're all kind of tired of, like tacos and nachos or quesadilla? Or do you want to look at what's really going on in Mexico and put that kind of stuff on your menu? Like what's mole sauce and what can I learn about chilies? I would like to have a lesson in, you know, 10 different kinds of chilies so that I can educate my customers and I can serve very interesting fare. So if you're a Mexican chef, you would come and you would learn about that. Say you're, you know, an Italian chef, and you're interested in the whole small plates phenomena, and you want to learn how to offer different kinds of small plates on your menu and what you should be charging for those small plates, what should those small plates be, you can come and you can look at what Mario Batelli's doing at Casamano or you know, half a dozen other chefs around the country that are also doing small plates.
You know, it sounds, from what you say, I mean, I don't want to say something as hackneyed as it sounds too good to be true, but it's really true. I mean, it is a great professional resource, and it strikes me that your core user of your website is probably a professional, not a consumer. Is that
correct?
True? Do you know
yes,
if that's true
is.
Or not?
Well, it's 50... It's about 50-50. 53% of our audience are food-loving consumers, and 47% of our audience are chefs. And that's probably due to the number of viewers that we have, because we've almost doubled or tripled our traffic each year for the past 5 years.
So where are you now? How many people visit your site?
I'll give you three numbers. In terms of hits, we're at just under 20 million. In terms of page views, we're just under 10 million. In terms of unique visitors, we're just under 700,000.
Wow, so 700,000 people a year use your site.
No, that's a month.
That's a month. I'm sorry,
yeah.
A month use your site.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
All those numbers are monthly.
And the only place that the site derives revenue is from the job database? Or?
Well, the job finder is about 50% of our revenue, and the other 50% of our revenue is site advertising or sponsorships. Star Chef has a series of awards, chef awards, called the Rising Star Awards.
I want to talk about those a little bit as well.
Okay.
Let's now how how does that work? How do you pick your cities?
Well, basically what we do is we travel around the country, meeting chefs, eating their food, interviewing them. And each year we pick four cities that are going to be our rising star city. And they tend to be cities where there's something culinary going on. There's some excitement. There's a lot of new chefs. There's some interesting trends going on in the city. So for instance, last year we picked our cities for this year. This year, Star Chefs will do its Rising Star Awards in New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles.
It sounds like a tough job, Antoinette, but somebody's got to do it.
You know something? It is a tough job. I mean, people ask me that all the time. They say, oh, you get to dine in the best restaurants, meet the best chefs. But when I do it, I dine in five restaurants in a day.
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Our guest is Antoinette Bruno. She's the CEO and editor-in-chief of StarChefs.com, and we'll be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Kathleen Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and Stage Left. I've just opened Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. You see, Kathleen Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or KatherineLombardi.com.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, of Stage Left in Kathleen Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest today is Antoinette Bruno. She is CEO and editor-in-chief of a great industry website that if you're a consumer, you should check out as well if you want the inside scoop. It's called StarChefs.com. Hey there, Antoinette.
Yeah.
We were talking before the break about the Rising Stars Award that Star Chefs awards every year. And every year you pick four cities and you concentrate on making awards in those cities. New York is one of those cities. Why is New York one of the cities this year?
We actually have decided to do New York every year. And the reason we're doing New York...
Because it's the coolest.
Is because chefs are rising there every year?
Well, it's funny because our awards are in their fifth year. We started the awards in 2002. Our galas are in their fourth year. So we started the awards before we actually had an awards gala. And we didn't start out with New York. Well, actually, our first set of awards was New York, but we didn't have a gala. And we came back to New York to actually have our first gala last year. And when we finished sort of going through 100 or 200 restaurants to pick the top, you know, eight chefs, rising star, eight chefs in the city, there were so many chefs we wanted to pick. We thought to ourselves, we really need to do New York each year.
Yeah.
And there's enough new talent in New York each year that it makes sense to actually do the award each year.
So tell me another city that you picked and why that city.
Okay. Well, this year we're going to Boston and we're going to Los Angeles. So I just actually finished picking Los Angeles, so that would be a great city for me to talk about. We picked Los Angeles the last time was in 2004, so it was 2 years ago. The talent in the city has changed dramatically. The cuisine in the city has changed dramatically in 2 years.
How so?
Are people migrating to L.A., or is it that they're growing their own new young chefs?
They're growing their own new young chefs. Maybe 2 years ago when we were there, I remember when I did my first 50 tastings, I'm like, am I ever going to find a chef to pick in LA?
Mm-hmm.
The food was a lot different, than it is today. You see, a lot of proteges of a lot of great chefs who are really focusing on the freshest ingredients. They're also extremely technique driven, which they weren't 2 years ago when we picked the last time. But they're very interested in creating great restaurants in the areas of which they live, which is also different. When I did my first trip in LA 2 years ago, when we were there picking, I was crisscrossing the city, you know.
Antoinette, we're going to have to take a short break for the news, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about L.A. and about trends in restaurants across the country, because all the restaurateurs who are listening out there, this is a great website for you to use. It's called starchefs.com, and Antoinette Bruno is the CEO and editor-in-chief, and we'll be talking more with her after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Today our guest is Antoinette Bruno. She's the CEO and editor-in-chief of starchefs.com. And we know we have a lot of restaurateur listeners out there and chef listeners out there. If you don't know about starchefs.com, you should. It's a site that, you know, everybody in the business is using for both job referrals, to find products, to find out what's going on. It's a magazine as well. And it actually makes money and has been around for a couple of years, which is a great testament to you. Hi, Antoinette.
Hi.
We were talking before the break about how StarChefs.com picks four cities every year. One of them is New York. But it goes to different cities across the country and gives the Rising Star Awards to important culinarians in those cities. And you're talking about how you chose L.A. And how does a city go from being sort of a notorious foodie backwater, as L.A. was considered
for a long time,
to being, you know, becoming an important, having an important culinary scene? What's made the difference?
I think that is actually a great place to lead into the trend survey. I mean, basically the diner is changing, and that's what's driving the restaurants. Today's diner is demanding great food. They're more sophisticated. They're more adventurous. Dining is an entertainment. It's a form of entertainment. What better place in L.A. to be a city where, you know, dining should be entertainment? And I think that's why the dining scene is not just changing in L.A., it's changing all across the country. I mean, Boston's always been a great dining city, but, I mean, Chicago is on fire. It's incredible what's going on there. I mean, it's exciting, the techniques, the experimentation that's going on.
I guess we know who you're picking next year.
We actually did Chicago last year. We did it. We just did Chicago in December, and it was absolutely on fire. I mean, it was just incredible. And maybe it's because the cost of opening a restaurant is so much less in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many chefs. I mean, there's probably 6 or 8 chefs in Chicago that are doing experimental cuisine. There aren't that many chefs in New York who are doing experimental cuisine.
You know, it's interesting that you say that about Chicago, because L.A., I think, is a different thing. But, you know, in New Jersey, occasionally, you know, we have a bad rap for cuisine in New Jersey. But there's some really good stuff going on out here.
You're encouraging me to get to New Jersey.
No, actually, I'm not. That'll come in the email after the show. But we have some interesting stuff going on, and there are really only a few restaurants that are, I think, cooking on that level in the whole state. But it's a small state, and we're friends with most of the guys who are doing that. And when you talk with them, and our motivations for opening in Jersey are just as you say, you know, I can get a liquor license in New Brunswick, New Jersey for $100,000. I can get a restaurant open for a few $100,000. Of course, our last one we spent $2 million, but we didn't have to.
Hold on a second. If we didn't have to, you're in a lot of trouble.
But literally, a talented young chef starting up in New York has huge hurdles to overcome. Mm-hmm. Cost of real estate, cost of doing business in New York.
Just signing the lease. Just sign the lease, and you're already behind the eight ball.
And so I think
if you talk to Drew Nipperon, he'll tell you that you can still open a restaurant in New York if you're clever. He said the key is the location, 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 and not location like we all think, the best location. For him, it's the best deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and I think that if you're Drew Nipperon, you can open restaurants in Manhattan. But for those of us quite not so well capitalized or connected, you know, and, you know, it's funny, when you operate in New York, I mean, people don't realize this, but we consult once in a while at restaurants in New York as well. And, you know, even getting things things fixed in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
the contractors charge more to go in there. You know, if you
right.
have if you have a toilet that breaks in New York, you're screwed. If you got a $1 million plumbing job, you can get somebody to come in and do it.
Right, but you're going to pay a plumber for a whole day in order to get your toilet fixed.
Right, because they got to get a truck, get it into Manhattan, find parking, get a ticket, you know, when they don't find parking. And then, you know, it's a crazy city. It's a wonderful culinary town. But what strikes me as interesting about L.A. is that L.A., I would have always thought would have been a food capital. But it was always sort of a place where, you know, full of restaurants where models go to not eat.
Right. And 2 years ago, that's what I found.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I mean, I did find some great chefs 2 years ago. I don't want in any way malign the chefs that we did pick because they were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 years ago, it was a struggle to find the top chef, mm-hmm. You know, in L.A. I mean, I spent all my time on the highway crisscrossing the city. And this time, I mean, from macrobiotic cuisine to hot cuisine to mm-hmm. just a neighborhood bistro, I mean, we were very far-reaching in the chefs that we picked in L.A. this time. I mean, Star Chef picked a guy who runs a macrobiotic deli as a rising star. And maybe we should define what a rising star is. I think that's kind of important.
I think so,
yeah. Please do.
But basically, you know, we're not just looking for great food. It's beyond great food. Great food is a given. We're also looking for creativity, ambition, exquisite presentation. But we're looking for chefs that see beyond the four walls of the restaurant and actually understand, you know, how they fit into the larger culinary community and that they're dedicated towards sharing knowledge with other culinary professionals.
It's really important.
And, you know, there are chefs in New York who didn't get picked for rising stars because we didn't think they were actually interested in the rest of the culinary community. You know, when we asked them for recipes, they couldn't be bothered to give them to us.
And, wow.
You know, and if you're not sharing, then you're not teaching others.
Well, you know, the other thing that I think is really important, what I think and what the point of this show is and hopefully the way we run our restaurants and the way that I think the best restaurants do run, is, and I think why people are giving more and more respect to restaurateurs and chefs is we do play a role, or we can play a role in keeping farmers on the farm, in making sure that you get healthier food that doesn't have antibiotics and hormones in it, and in educating the public in a way. I mean, I think that what a restaurant does at its best is it's a locus of community. I mean, do you find that?
Totally agree with you.
I mean, one of the things actually that you said earlier that I just want to disagree with a little bit, Antoinette, is you said that is the customers are driving restaurants to get better and better. And I think that's more of a symbiosis. I think that's more of restaurants are getting better and customers are getting more educated and restaurants are getting, you know, ratcheting up another level to impress their customers again, and customers are getting more educated. And I think that keeps ratcheting up that
probably
way.
Probably I'd add to that is the competition element. Because, you know, you can't just sort of be myopic about what it is you're serving these days.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
need to know what every other restaurant around you is serving.
Well, it's one of the things that I was talking to a customer just 2 days ago about this. The customer came in and said, well, you know, you've been a Star Ledger four-star restaurant and a New York Times three-star restaurant for all these years. You know, how do you maintain that? And my answer was, I don't maintain.
There's
that.
No maintaining.
Okay. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
Is one of the maxims of our restaurant. And the other maxim is the bar keeps being raised, and you've got to keep elevating what you do. My restaurant's much better now than it was 5 years ago, and it's much better. It was much better 5 years ago than it was 10 years ago.
And if it's not, you quickly become a museum piece, and then you're closed. I mean, do you find that to be the case?
That's definitely the case. That's it. And you have to be paying attention to the trends in the industry, which is another reason to come to Star Chef.
Absolutely.
If you're not, if you don't know what sous vide is today and you're a chef,
mm-hmm.
You've got a problem.
You're behind the times.
You've got a problem.
You're sinking if you don't know what sous vide is.
Well, and you know, the thing about what you were talking about before is, do the more sophisticated guests drive the restaurant, or does the restaurant drive the more sophisticated guests? I can see where you would say in L.A., where it was always a culinary backwater, or it was a culinary backwater until a couple of years ago, which was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they get more international people and more American business people and people who travel, if you go to L.A., Chicago, and New York, when you go to L.A., you make fun of the restaurants a little bit, and
right.
then sooner or later somebody opens up and satisfies what the sophistication you've picked up as a client in those other cities.
I mean, I remember going to L.A. and it being more, and no pun intended, but being more about the show than the substance of what was on the plate.
Right. I mean, you had I mean, 2 years ago, some of the great chefs we picked were David Meyer at Sona and Michael Cimarusti. He was at the Water Grill. Now he has a brand new restaurant that's all his own. And Neil Frazier at Grace. I mean, those were the sort of avant-garde chefs. And Govan Armstrong at Table 8.
We'll be talking more with Antoinette Bruno, CEO and Editor-Chief in StarChefs.com in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Antoinette Bruno. She's CEO and Editor-in-Chief of StarChefs.com. If you're in the business, as so many of you who listen to the show are in the business on podcast and on radio, we're going to link you to StarChefs.com from our site, RestaurantGuysRadio.com. You need to check it out. It's great as a resource to hire people. If you're looking for a job, it's a great place to post your resume. And it's also it's full of great articles, and we actually I will be honest with you, Antoinette, more than a number of ideas from our show have come from getting your email newsletter.
The dish rag
is what it's called. Isn't that
so
great?
We're no longer going to quote you. This is it, one big blanket statement.
So I want to ask you one of the things that I think is really great about the sort of the spreading democracy of great food. It used to be that you know, if you lived in New York, there might be, you know, some good French restaurants in New York, you know, or if you lived in near a culinary food center or a source of great food in a city, you had some great restaurants. But I read Calvin Trillin, who writes about food a lot. And he used to say when he traveled the country and people knew he would write about food, he'd show up in some Midwestern town in the 70s, and he was always looking for the local food, the local barbecue, the local whatever. And invariably the mayor would come up and say, "Oh, Mr. Trillin, welcome to our town. We can't wait to take you to Maison Chez de la Casa de Le Monde." And he would say, "You know, we have this great French restaurant in town." And Calvin wrote that he said, "I was always tempted to say, no, you don't." But what is going on in Middle America? I mean, we talk about great restaurants and we talk mostly about major cities, but with the Food Network and with your site, this sort of information and with shipping a lot of these products is available mm-hmm. anywhere in the
and
country.
And Francis and I normally only get to talk about coastal, you know, cuisine as opposed
and
to the interior.
By the way, is dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's the new hot cuisine is all of the great young chefs that are going back to the roots wherever they're from. You know, whether
right.
it be Anna Sartone in Boston, who's, you know, being inspired by Middle Eastern food, or Tony Montuano in Spiaggi in Chicago, who's, you know, reinventing Italian food, going back to his roots, and Jose Andres at Cafe Atlantico in D.C. and with the new Spanish cuisine. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody, the young and old chefs, are going back to their roots, and the once upon a time, you know, get dressed up and go out to dinner for your special event night, you know, to a French restaurant is definitely not where America's dining.
Well, do you think that, though, is there the appreciation for fine food and cooking and maybe can you tell us through access to your site in Podunk, Nebraska, or in, you know, rural Ohio? I mean, are we seeing interest in cuisine there like we are in the cities?
Are things changing as fast there as they are here?
I think they're changing. I don't know if they're changing quite as fast as they are in major cities. I mean, we just discussed L.A., and you know, L.A. was that backwater
mm-hmm.
Of culinary cuisine, and it has changed. And look at Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Las Vegas, where, you know, your typical Midwesterner goes for a vacation, you know, was a place, you know, 5 years ago, you know, where you didn't eat good food.
Mm-hmm. Right, and now every restaurateur
in the world are
yeah.
opening restaurants.
So we talked about earlier, are those patrons now demanding that in their cities and, you know, in their more rural areas, those people who are going to Las Vegas for vacations and to visit?
Yeah, I think you'll see that. I think you'll see small towns as more people are going to major cities that have great culinary scenes. And I think you'll see it in the Midwest a lot more because, I mean, if you take Las Vegas, you take Chicago, and you take
Madison, Wisconsin.
See, Wisconsin's a hop, skip, and a jump from Chicago, right?
Yep. Yep.
So if you're in Wisconsin and you came to Star Chef's Rising Stars Review in Chicago, which, by the way, several people from Wisconsin came. They even wrote about it in the major Wisconsin newspaper there.
Mm-hmm.
And you tasted great experimental food, are you going to go back to your hometown and say, hey, why can't we have a restaurant like that here?
And you know what? If you're a cook at home, or if you're a restaurateur or a chef out there, one of the great things that Star Chefs allows you to do, and there are other sources as well, and why, you know, if there's one advice I have to young culinarians, it's read. Read, 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 read everything you can.
Because, I totally agree with that.
Well, because maybe you can't go everywhere and go eat as much as you can, but you can read a lot more than you can eat. And
that's been my mantra my whole life, eat as much as you can.
And maybe Mark can eat as much as he can read, but he reads slowly. But the idea is to look at other chefs. You need to apprentice. You need to look at what other people are doing, not necessarily to copy it exactly, but to master what they're doing and then incorporate those ideas into your own new.
And get inspiration from those people, because we all get inspiration from one another. And that's I love one of the things you said earlier in the show where you were talking about, you know, we only want to include people who are willing to share and willing to put it all out there, because that's how we all get better.
Correct. You have to, in addition to reading, you also have to eat. What I find is when I interview a lot of chefs when I'm doing my Rising Stars tour, is I ask them, well, where have you been to eat lately? Tell me, you know, what your greatest, you know, restaurant find is in the city. And don't tell me the best restaurant in the city. I want to know the restaurants off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
And if a chef can't tell me three places that he absolutely loved, then I turn around and I say to him, I said, where are you? You're not eating. How do you improve your food if you're not out there eating?
You got to go out and eat. Our guest is Antoinette Bruno. She's CEO and editor-in-chief of StarChefs.com. We're going to link it to StarChefs.com from our site, RestaurantGuysRadio.com. And when we come back from the break, she's going to give you the name of three hot places off the beaten path in New York City where you can go and dine this weekend. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1155. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, and also of the Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back at the Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest today is Antoinette Bruno. She is the editor-in-chief and CEO of StarChefs.com, and that makes her an expert on where are the cool places. So, Antoinette, in New York, give me three cool places that people might not know about.
Okay. My first would be Filai. It's on the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
The chef is Jacopo.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. Absolutely amazing. He does these wonderful homemade raviolis that will just melt in your mouth. And if you haven't been to Fly yet, that is definitely a place you have to go.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Dora-an. It's a Korean restaurant. The chef is Rachel Yang. It's absolutely fantastic.
All right, you got us on that one. We didn't know.
Yeah, where's that one?
Where is...
We'll find it out, and we'll put the address
on the website.
Okay, you'll put it up on the website. And then I would also say, and this is maybe not so unknown, but one of my favorite restaurants is Sumule, Josh DeKellis.
Sure.
I absolutely think that's great. And I also like Kuma Inn.
How do you spell that?
K-U-M-A.
What's that? What makes that special? What's that about?
Kuma Inn is a little hole in the wall. It's on the second floor on the Lower East Side on Ludlow Street.
Mm.
It's kind of like noodles and, you just sort of street food. Well, I'm in street food these days.
We're going to put.
I just love Kuma Inn.
We're going to put all of these up on our website. In addition to my recommendation for the hole in the wall would be Restaurant Perbaco on the Lower East Side.
I knew you were going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I love that place. I think it's really homey and great. Okay. And we'll put that up on the website as well. And we're going to link you to starchefs.com. And Antoinette Bruno, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on the Restaurant Guys today.
Antoinette, we never got to talk about the trends in restaurant article that you wrote. Maybe you can come back another time and talk.
Oh, I'd love to because there's such great information in the trends.
Super. We're gonna do that in the future. We'll have you come back again. You'll be our expert on the topic.
Thanks,
perfect.
Antoinette.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
She's great. That website is an invaluable resource. If you're in the business and you want to be in the know about what's going on, just to look at other dishes, see what other chefs are doing, it's invaluable.
It's something we look at every week.
And their job finder, honestly, the job finder for us hasn't worked so well to find, like, a line cook.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you're looking for a GM or a sommelier or a maitre d' or a chef or a sous chef or a chef de cuisine, it's a pretty good site. If you have a job that's worth someone relocating for, not that everyone who applies will be far away, it's really worth doing. So we'll check that out. That's starchefs.com. That was Antoinette Bruneau. I am Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.